The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 290. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode. And as I said the number 290, I kind of was like, holy cow, I am almost to 300 episodes, and I still am somewhat floored when I really think about it. But we're getting up there. I'm going to have to start putting things together for a really cool 300th episode. And you know what? I appreciate the fact that so many people listen to the PVD cast and give me that opportunity to hopefully entertain you, because that's, I think, what all podcasters are here for, to express their opinions and their ideas and their insights. And hopefully that entertains you while you're doing work or you're driving your kids to school or whatever. And, you know, I mentioned the words opinion and insights, and this episode is going to be chock full of them. I'm inviting back again the pro wrestling pundits to discuss All Elite Wrestling, AEW. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and yours truly are going to give you our thoughts and our insights and our opinions on the good and the bad of AEW. And I know it's very popular to, for lack of a better term, shit on AEW, but we're gonna present it as some of the things that we really do dig in the company and some things that, you know, we don't like. And I must give a little bit of credit, though, to this particular episode. As you'll hear me explain, I got an email from friend of the show, Billy Jackson, who for many, many years in the state of Ohio was a great referee in the independent professional wrestling world. And he dropped me a line about 3 or 4 weeks ago saying, hey, love the reviews of the WWE Big Four pay-per-views, but you guys haven't really talked about AEW for a very long time. So I threw it out to Rand and Joey. Let's get together. Let's talk about AEW. And we're looking at the time frame of like the last 6 months or so. And let's do it. So thank you, Billy Jackson, for recommending this topic. And you know what, folks, if you have any topics you would like to have myself and the Pro Wrestling Pundits tackle, hit me up. And you'll find out how on the other side of our conversation. But before we get to that, I need to let you know real quickly about World's Greatest Comics. As you know, they are a great sponsor of the PBD cast, and they have everything you need for your comic book fandom. They're located at 5974 Russellville Road in Westerville, Ohio. So stop on over to the store and check out what they got. They got single issues, graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, back issues, various collectibles. They've got a ton of stuff, and you need to check it out. But I know you might be listening out of state, and you might say, John, I'd love to check out the store, but I'm not driving X amount of hours to go to Westerville. I got you covered. Don't worry about that. WG Comics has a great website. It's wgcomics.com. And you can even find them on Facebook. Just look for at WG Comics. And I will say this, they do a great job on the Facebook page of being very interactive with folks. So if you're curious about the shop, check them out. And if you happen to interact with someone from World's Greatest, whether in person or through the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast. All right, with that out of the way, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear the pro wrestling pundits and yours truly talk about the state of AEW. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this evening with the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze, and of course, ringside Rand. Rand, how are you this evening?
Life is good. If life got any better, I could sell franchises.
DJ Joey Blaze, how are you this evening?
I am doing very, very well. I have no creative thing to say about how well I'm doing like ringside does, though.
Well, that's okay. Well, tonight, we are going to sit down and discuss what I'm calling the state of AEW. Now, for the listeners at home, there's actually a backstory as to why we're doing this episode. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I received an email from friend of the show, Billy Jackson. Billy has been a referee for a very long time in Ohio. He now lives in Florida. And he sent me an email talking about some wrestling topics and wanted to know why the three of us have not discussed AEW more recently. I don't even know if we've ever fully discussed it as a full episode, but needless to say, I then reached out to you two and said, let's do it. Let's take this idea from Billy Jackson and let's run with it. Let's see what are some of the things that we could talk about in AEW, both the good and the bad. And so that's what brings us to our episode here this evening. Should we maybe do a quick roll call of AEW champions, gentlemen?
Feel free.
The world champion for AEW is, of course, Kenny Omega. The current holder of the TNT championship is Miro. The tag team titles belong to the Young Bucks. And the women's championship, Britt Baker, DMD. And yes, I did the finger thing too that you do when you say DMD. Shall we start off, gentlemen, with some positives? So
the funny thing is, John, is since we're doing this remote and hopefully soon we'll be doing it, I am also doing the finger thing, but I'm actually giving you the finger.
Oh.
So there's right. That. So we can
okay.
Just well, to I let guess you the, know.
I guess the finger's better than the cross chop.
That's coming too.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let's start off. Joey, you start off. Give us one positive right now. We're going to kind of go around the horn giving some positives. What's one positive that you believe is noteworthy in AEW?
One positive? God, I really got to dig for it. No, I'm just kidding. I do spread a lot of hate for AEW. One positive is that there's wrestling on the Turner networks again. That's a huge positive to me, to be honest. Mainly because, A, it's nice to see some competition, and just it's B, to have an extra flavor out there, if you will, to cleanse the palate of the trash that sometimes goes on Monday night. So it's just nice to have another option.
Rand, what's a positive for you so far with AEW?
Well, I'm looking on that their internet thing, and it says that there's 140 personalities involved with AEW, and there's a lot of them that we haven't seen before, a lot of them from lots of different sources. So it's not the stale roster over and over. They're adding people. They have people part-time. They have people come and go. So there's a lot of variety. It's not just the same people over and over. And another positive, when they change a title, it actually means something, because there's only three or four people who have been champs. So it means something to be on the top of the heap. For a startup company, this doesn't look cheap. These people actually have money and they have production values, which is something that...
I'd watch that about the money. We'll probably talk about it in the podcast here, but there's been mention about the debt that the cons are in right now. I'm sure John and all his wonderful pod prep, hashtag pod prep, I'm sure that he'll bring that up here at some point. So I don't know about that money so much at times, but I get what you're saying there, Rand.
Well, I'm going to piggyback off of what Rand said when he talked about titles, okay? Because one of the things I think, you know, most recently that has been a really awesome and very good positive is this idea of Kenny Omega as the heel champion, Kenny Omega as the belt collector, so to speak. I think that that's really, really kind of cool. You know, it goes back to like Ultimo Dragon when he had all of those belts from all around, those different titles from all those different promotions. I think that's awesome. I like it. I like that Kenny Omega went to Impact and he competed for the world title. I would like to see that more often because I think they've gotten away from that. But to me, a positive over the last few months, Omega's the heel champ. And his pairing with Don Callis is fantastic. Callis is such a scumbag and plays that role very, very well. And so I think that that's the first positive that I want to throw out there.
I agree. I like Don Callis or Cyrus. I think he's very good as the weasel manager, the bad guy, the slimy greaseball that he plays. I think he's great in that role.
I got to chime in. I like Callis. I am not an Omega fan. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's his hairdo. I don't know if it's his cockiness. He is not a good promo, in my opinion. That's what Don Callis is there for. They need to use that. He needs to not speak as much. I've never think he's been, his ring work's okay, but I think his ring work, and here we go. Let's get some heat right out the gate. I think he copies stuff from a lot of people. I don't like, the only people I like in the Elite are the Good Brothers. And we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But Don Callis, they need to, he know what he does as well, and they need to let him do more. I think Kenny Omega needs to speak less.
I want to say that I think Kenny Omega is pretty good in the ring. His matches, especially in New Japan, were fantastic.
I didn't say he's bad in the ring. I think his thirst for high spots, much like his friends, the Young Bucks, is a little bit too extravagant. And I feel like I like his work. There's just something about him. You ever have that person that there's just, man, I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out, but there's just something about him that if he'd have went to New York, I would have been like, who the fuck is this guy? I don't know. That's probably just me. And I know there's people out there, I know they get excited. Kenny Omega brings moisture to their drawers, whatever, but he doesn't do it for me.
Well, I'll say this. I don't like babyface Kenny Omega. I think heel Kenny Omega is the way to go because he is, and then maybe this is why I'm so big on him, Joey, is because, yeah, you're right. There's something about him, the arrogance, the whatever. And so for me, I think that that's why it works better as a heel. I don't think you can have that same attitude as a baby face, but he had that, and I don't know. I think it's a positive. But speaking of other members of the front office in AEW, I'm going to throw out that I think another positive over the last few months has been Cody's role. I think that he has put over the new guys from the factory. Agogo, he's teamed up with Lee Johnson, which has given him the rub. I'm not sure if Cody, I know Dustin was in a feud with Nick Camarato. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. As a side note, real quickly, that guy needs a better name because he's got a great look. He can go in the ring. He needs to have just one name, you know, like Wardlow or the Barbarian. Or the Warlord.
Nord the Barbarian Jr.
You beat me. I was going to say Doink, but okay. But I think Cody, and I know he's got a lot on his plate right now, he's going to be a father soon, and there's other front office things that he's doing. But I think the role of really working with these new guys to get them over, I think has been really, really well done. Rand, how about another positive from you?
I'll stay with Cody Rhodes. I think it's a great, great deal that he has a pulled rank and said, I'm the boss. I'm one of the big shot front office guys. I'm going to take a title. And he's done that. He's helped a lot of other people out. He hasn't said, this is my promotion. I'm going to be the centerpiece.
So you mean he hasn't been Jerry the King Lawler and won the USWA title 40 times?
Exactly.
All right, Joey, how about another positive from your ledger?
Didn't he create a title and put it around his waist? I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, he did, but it wasn't the title.
Oh, okay. So, but he has created a title and put it around his waist twice, right?
Yes, you are correct, sir.
Okay. So I think for a while he kind of seemed like that, but what he's doing now, I feel what you're saying, John, is true, by help putting over talent. So my positive is commentary. And people are like, oh, my God, Jim Ross. No, I think Jim Ross is past his prime. But what I really like with the commentary is I love hearing Tony Schiavone back. I like seeing Tony Schiavone as a personality. And Excalibur. When we first talked about this, I was like, man, I don't like that guy. And you could probably remember me saying something about that. But his knowledge of all these guys coming up, all these younger guys, he educates you on them, and he makes you, his commentary kind of makes you invest a little bit more in the product because of his knowledge. Because after you hear him saying stuff, you feel like you know them better, and boom. So with Schiavone and Excalibur, those both, to me, that's positive, is their commentary.
What do you think about Taz stepping in and out as a commentator?
I'm not a big fan of Taz doing it. I like Taz, but I'm not a big fan of him doing it in AEW. I like Don Callis as a commentator just because I like him as a mouthpiece when he goes on and says stuff. But now I personally haven't had much of a chance to listen to Big Show or Paul White or whatever do his thing. And I'm anxious to kind of hear Mark Henry do commentary, to be honest, because I really liked him on that Fox show that covered the WWE. And I like listening to him on Busted Open when I get a chance too. So I look forward to that as well. So I think their commentary has been pretty decent.
I am going to disagree with you. That's one of my negatives I have, Joey, is I feel the commentary is bad. I feel like Jim Ross has lost a step. Without a doubt, he's the greatest of all time, but he's lost a step.
I didn't say Jim Ross is amazing. If I focused on the other guys on purpose.
Sure. No, and I get you, but you know, Excalibur and Taz, at least on the couple of episodes of AEW Dark I watched, they too many inside jokes. Put over the product. Don't be putting over, you know, cool stories that you know about Billy Gunn that you're not going to really share anyways. You're just going to throw out things here and there, and you're going to giggle and laugh about it. There's a match going on. And yes, it is maybe a preliminary match that, you know, we know the outcome that Wardlow's going to probably beat this guy or whoever's in the ring. But I feel like the commentary would be better if it was Excalibur and Tony Schiavone, a two-man booth, or if it was Excalibur and Taz, if they can just knock off their insider jokes. I think that would be a better setup. And clearly, I think we would be all in agreement with that Alex Marvez is terrible as an interviewer.
I agree. I think their backstage isn't. But let's go back to that, too. What sucks about the dynamic of having Excalibur and Taz is those are two color guys. Neither one of them is play-by-play, in my opinion. That's Schiavone and that's Jim Ross. Mm. So, you know, that's why. I think that's why. That's like putting me and Rand do a commentary. We'll just talk about the women in the stands or something, you know. You need a John Orlando to ground it. So that's probably why you would have that opinion as well. I'm not talking about Dark. I'll be honest, I have no reason really to watch Dark. Most of my commentary opinions based on Dynamite.
Okay. Let's talk about some more positives. All right. Because again, we don't want to, you know, we want to balance things out, the positives with the negatives. It's very easy to shit all over AEW, as many people do, but there are some positives in there. I think one of my, and not that this has ever changed, but MJF is still gold. The best heel in professional wrestling. I think when they decided to start, this was many months ago, start giving him a stable, I think they were smart enough to pick guys that would work with him and make sense. So I still say a one wonderful bright spot, MJF.
I think he's the best there is. He's one of the guys that lives his gimmick outside of the ring as well.
Yeah.
I think he just has a look about him, and it's not just that stupid scarf. I mean, he's got a sneer that's just, he can walk to the ring and you know that you dislike him.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to call him any names. you can just look at him and tell this guy's 25 years old and he's already instantly over in a negative way as he walks to the ring. There's just a look about him and the way he carries himself.
Well, you talk about carrying himself too, Rand. The fact that he charges the same amount on Cameo as Ric Flair is pure gold. Like, that's hilarious. Like, that's heel heat right out the gate too. You know what I'm saying? So he knows how to generate it. And I agree with you, John, on that as well. As I think he's the best heel in wrestling right now.
Yes. Now, my only negative, and this is one of the negatives I have written down, this is my only negative about MJF, and it's not a direct negative. They need to stop the Inner Circle versus the Pinnacle. Okay, we had two big giant matches that were kind of blow-off matches. And 2 weeks ago, Jericho's out there on Dynamite saying, it's not over. It needs to be over. Like, take a break from it. Figure out a way that you can take MJF and Jericho and they can go their different paths. And in some way, in 6 months, 9 months, a year from now, bring them back together. Hey, remember that these two haven't liked each other. Their factions hate each other, et cetera, et cetera. And then do it then. I think you got to stop beating things into the ground in wrestling. That's just not indicative of AEW. That happens all over the place.
So here's the thing. Have you started watching Loki, John?
I have not started Loki just yet, no.
Okay, one of the things, you basically know about it is how they control time and there's a chance for the timeline to kind of branch out. And by you bringing up that whole subject, that branches out a lot of opinions from me. So, okay. And you said, talk about positive stuff, but what you're just saying, though, is negative, but they do negative on the opposite end, too. 1 week, there's a tag team with one manager, then the next week, they're with another manager, and they don't explain why. There's no middle ground. So, obviously, they're carrying out that feud, but then these other storylines are just way too short.
Like, agreed. You know, okay.
The
yeah,
I'm going Eddie Kingston aren't, and all of a sudden now they're teaming. What? But why is the Butcher and the Blade? Why are they with Big Money Matt Hardy? That's a, don't get me started on gimmicks. What the hell is Big Money Matt Hardy? So if we talk about any negatives, like you said, with how that goes, how it branches that way, it branches the other way too, because they leave so many stories. They don't leave the finish. They literally they'll do the prelude there. They'll get you a couple chapters in, and then they just stop writing the damn book.
Agreed.
I get what you're saying, but to me, I like what they're doing with that because it's kind of a throwback. They're carrying feuds used to go on 7-8 months, if not longer. So they're carrying that. They can still go about it and revisit it, like you said. But I'd rather see a little bit more of that, where you're going to maybe have some continuation and hopefully a finish with a storyline, than just nothing happening at all.
Rand, what do you think? Do you have any opinion on this? Storylines, whether too long, too short, just right?
I really don't care for Matt Hardy.
Wow. I like how you no-sold my question. Went right to Matt Hardy, Rand. Go ahead.
It's hard to define when you should leave a story and when you keep going. I think we've had enough of, yeah, Hardy, I've had enough. You know what the barber says? Next.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't make any sense. All of a sudden, he's with Angelico and Douchebag Evans. Why? If you're going to have a feud with Christian, have a feud with Christian. Don't have 84 different tag teams fight your fight. And what does big money, where did he get the money from? He's never been a big money guy anyways.
Do you think Christian's injuries have anything to do with this, that they stop and start?
I think they go and they do the – I like how they're going to they use Christian in the Battle Royal. Now, we're totally going off here. I apologize.
No, that's all right.
And what they did with Jungle Boy to put Jungle Boy over. But Christian needs a run. You bring him in, give him a run – and then let him a little bit fade to the back, too. Like, I just have a problem, I guess, with all of their creatives. When Rand talks about how it's great to have all this talent, but that's also a negative. You got to figure out something. What are we going to do with Dr. Luther? Cut him.
Okay, you know what? Joey, you're creeping into my negatives list, so I'm going to jump in for a minute. I agree with you. I think that there's a negative. There's too many people on the roster. Rand, when you said there's 100 different personalities, that's way too many. That's just ungodly. And here's the thing. Okay, we look recently. You sign Mark Henry. You sign Paul White. You sign Christian Cage. You sign Andrade. Are these four individuals, are they worth the money that you are spending? Are you going to get out of them what you hope that their, quote, star power, end quote, will bring to the table?
I think they bought your name recognition. Same with Sting.
Sure. I agree. And in the meantime, and I know that this is probably going to get me heat as well, but in the meantime, you're bringing up all of these people from the indies to do jobs on AEW Dark. And this is actually, a truth be told, a conversation I had with Will, Weapon X Will from OWA this past weekend. Is this going to hurt the indies? Because there's a delicate balance of, like, I want to call it economics. That's probably the best way to place it or to say it. And I've seen it where you have people that have gotten notice, that have been on TV, now feel that they are going to get X amount of dollars more because they were on AEW Dark or they were on Sunday Night Heat. And that can cause problems on the independent level because, you know, again, as independent wrestling fans know, there's not a multi-million dollar corporation behind your favorite local indie promotion.
Well, there is OWA, but no, I know what you're saying.
Right. I mean, so I feel like all of these people that they're signing or that they're giving opportunities to, that's great. But really, the bottom line, long term, what is it doing for you and AEW?
Perfect example. Here's another one. Ethan Page. You tout him as coming in as, you know, and you put Scorpio Sky. You got two great singles wrestlers. Now all of a sudden they're teaming. What? What happened?
Yeah, there's no explanation, and all these things could be simple fixes if you just put the rest of the cross the T's and dot the I's, so to speak. You could do a quick interview in the back, literally 2 minutes, and you can get that over. Oh, Ethan Page, we see you tonight. You're teaming with Scorpio Sky. Yeah, we have mutual respect for one another. Blah 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 blah. Whatever, and that would at least be some type of explanation.
But you going back to that, John, no, you're right. But on the same token, too, like, who wants to go to a show after watching these guys lose week after week on Dark and this promotion's trying to put them over as their champion? What?
Yeah.
So true. It's the believability of it, too. We all know kayfabe's not a thing anymore. We get that. Everybody's smart. But, like, I don't want to come to your show if you put a guy as champion and he's lost 5 or 6 times in a row, oh, because he's an indie darling, they got to put him on the show. Like, no, I just watched you lose in a minute and a half to Dr. Luther. That's right, I've said his name twice, because I don't understand why he has a contract.
Well, he knows Jericho, and that's why he has a contract.
Oh, my God, whatever, dude, that's ridiculous.
But in the meantime...
But here's a positive thing. With the young guys, we're getting to see these third generation, second generation guys, like, we got to see Brock Anderson. I thought that was really cool. That was a positive to me. And by God, he looks like his daddy.
I know.
So we're getting to see some of that stuff. So as much as that can be a negative, there's some positive because they're creating their own guys too.
Sure. And I think this is a positive. You know, you look at Sammy Guevara, for an example. He's getting a push. He's getting a lot of recognition for his role in the feud of the acclaimed, or excuse me, not the acclaimed, of the Pinnacle versus the Inner Circle. Although I'm also going to say I think the Acclaimed is a great heel tag team. And so we'll talk more about them in a minute. I know, Joey, you're a big fan too. But I agree that some of these folks that deserve recognition are getting recognition, but then you're also overlooking people that have been there for a while, like, for an example, Pac, like, for an example, Brian Pillman Jr., like, for an example, Kip Sabian and Penelope Ford. Like, those four individuals could be really strong superstars for your product, but yet you're not doing anything with them.
Because you have too many?
Yes.
Both the strength and weakness of having such a big roster?
Agreed, yes, 100%.
I just, you know, I want, I mentioned you brought up the Acclaimed. I mentioned to talk about that. But you bring up Sammy Guevara, and he's one of those guys that I didn't like out the gate, and the Acclaimed's going to fall into that category when we talk about him too. But I've actually, I became a Mark IV. I'm actively searching for his action figure on the pegs right now. Like, I've turned into a Sammy Guevara Mark. I still don't like a couple others, which we'll probably might talk about here soon. But I think Sammy is a great talent, and I think AEW is a great platform for him to do bigger things down the road.
Yes, I agree. I feel like since he got away from his previous incarnation with the panda head and all that jazz, he's gotten so much better and certainly is a star in AEW. Joey, I agree with you. I was not a big fan of the Acclaimed. I heard a lot of buzz about them on the internet, and I just was like, I don't know. But then after seeing them, I was like, you know what? They are a damn good heel tag team.
To me, I was like, oh my God, they're ripping off John Cena. But the dude is actually talented. And they hear some of his raps, and they can work.
Yes, they can.
Like, and they can work the crowd, and they can tell a story. Like, they come to the ring, you're pissed off at them. And then, you know, you want to see the shit get kicked out of them. So it's kind of like it's just like you want to see MJF get the shit kicked out of him too. So I really like the direction they're going with them.
Agreed. Rand, do you have any other positives here? We kind of just the format went out the window as we started gabbing, but that's okay. Do you have any other positives or negatives even?
We've got such a wide range of ages that somebody like Jake Roberts can still work, and I think in small doses, Jake is great. There's periodically you see the Dean Malenko's, the Arn Anderson as a coach. The coaching gives some of these guys credibility. This website that I'm looking at has managers, Jake Roberts, Matt Hardy's listed as a coach, Taz is a coach. But if you go to this part, it has managers and coaches separate. I don't think Dustin Rhodes needs to wrestle much anymore.
I don't think he can coach right now, Rand. I'm just going to throw that out there.
It has Mark Henry listed as the coach, and I haven't seen him do anything. Tully gives credibility.
No, you said Dusty Rhodes, didn't you, Rand?
Yeah, I said Dustin.
Oh, Dustin, okay. Yeah, he can still wrestle, but I don't think Dusty can anymore.
Too soon.
Maybe I haven't learned to speak without my COVID mask on yet.
Well done. Well, I'm going to throw out another negative here because it kind of ties into what we're talking about with this talent roster and everything. No title push for Nyla Rose, okay? Pun intended, the bloom is off the rose with Nyla Rose. All right, Britt Baker is the champ. Let's elevate another woman to face off against Britt Baker. I'm sorry, but I just can't get behind Nyla Rose because they've jobbed her out so much that I just don't believe that she's a competent wrestler. And she is, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she isn't. But like my suspension of disbelief with her is gone. It's flushed down the toilet because she's lost to Riho and Haruka Shida and all these other very tiny women that I as far as I'm concerned, Nyla Rose needs to move on to some other feud, you know, with a woman or with a man. I think that would be awesome. I think Nyla Rose should compete in the men's division, to be honest with you, but that's just my take on the native beast, Nyla Rose. Joey, any other negatives, positives, whatnot about AEW that you wanted to discuss?
So I'm biting my tongue about Nyla Rose.
Okay.
I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to sound disrespectful or be canceled. But it's kind of like the situation right now where they're in the Olympics, where they're dealing with somebody that's in weightlifting. It's going to be the first transgender athlete that's going to compete on the female side of weightlifting, which to me, not that I don't think she should, you should be allowed to do anything, but you're already blessed a little bit. I think that's kind of an unfair advantage. So just when it comes to the believability in women's wrestling, I think it leads to an unfair advantage where I think she should compete in the men's division.
Well, and see, this is the thing that I don't understand why they didn't just go ahead. First champion was Nyla Rose. And people said, well, because you're panhandling to those folks who go, well, you're giving it to the first trans athlete. Well, but you mention it all the time on commentary, so why not do it? Why not pull that trigger right out of the gates? I feel like with all of these very smaller competitors beating Nyla Rose, there's just nowhere for her to go now. All right, and I mean, I don't know what more to say. It's the same thing that I say with Nia Jax over in the WWE. Nia Jax has lost to so many people that are much smaller than her. Is not believable. And they're going to do the same thing with Piper Nevin as well, eventually, I'm sure of it. So it's just like, build these women as unstoppable monsters. There's nothing wrong with that.
And they did that with Awesome Kong.
Right.
It's a right. Simple formula.
Yes. TNA had that down. Pat, they had that down pat. How to use
when she
awesome
would lose
call.
To, let's say, like an Angelina Love, it was different. It like the kids say today, it just hit different.
Do you think that Nyla Rose could work either as a heel or a face? Because I don't think Britt Baker can go back to being a face. Some people can go both ways.
Britt Baker, I think, can work face because the way she has that heelish attitude that makes people kind of maybe want to cheer now. And hold on real quick while you're talking about it. What's with this cheeseburger thing? I don't understand. Come to the ring. Let's celebrate by eating cheeseburgers. At least have a sponsor.
Wait a minute.
But then Wendy's. Like, that made no sense. We talked about storylines. What? I don't get it.
Can I be honest, Joey, real quickly, when you said, let's talk about that cheeseburger thing, I'm going, why are we talking about cheeseburger? Why are we bringing him up? He's still in Ring of Honor, isn't he? I was totally not even on the same wavelength as you. I'm sorry.
I think he's still trying to do color commentary somewhere better than me, but that's a whole nother story.
Anyways. Yeah, well, I thought Joey's marking out for himself. I thought that the cheeseburgers was supposed to be a stab because didn't Trump like invite a basketball team or something that had won some championship to the White House and he fed them like fast food?
Oh, that's a current thing. Yeah, Trump's still in office. Let's make fun of it. What? Come on, that was dumb. Makes no sense. Okay. All right, let's move on to something positive.
All right.
Don't say the Jackson brothers because. Those guys need to drop the title and give it to another tag team. You guys are executives or do whatever you do there. Let some other tag team have some titles, please. Please. Quit mimicking WWE stuff. It's not funny. It's stupid. The whole I'm sorry, I love you to Chris Daniels was ridiculously stupid to me.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I've never liked the Bucks. I never have. I never will. I'm very Jim Cornette-ish in my thoughts about them. Like, this isn't the gymnastics for the Olympics, guys. It's not for the squared circle. Let's cut the shit.
Rand, your thoughts, or do you have something else you would like to talk about, negative, positive, or otherwise?
Let's hear your thoughts on the Young Bucks, Rand. Let's run with this for a second.
I'm not a big fan of the Young Bucks either. I think they're over-the-top showy and not. I'd rather see FTW take them down, but I think it's time for them to drop the belts as well.
put the tag belts on a fun group of guys like the Best Friends. Like, I think that would be amazing. It would be fun. It'd be entertaining. It wouldn't be annoying and make me want to fast forward through their match.
Well,
I do the trios title with them and Orange Cassidy, and I'm not an Orange Cassidy fan by any means, but I think they're getting disrespect. I think they disrespect other tag teams by having the tag belts. Why did FTR even lose the tag belts?
That's a great question. I do not know.
With Pinnacle, if you're going to beat, they should have all the straps.
Well, Joey, I am not a fan of the Young Bucks, so it doesn't matter if they're heel or babyface. Not a fan either. I think I agree with both of you two as well. I don't like all their big, awesome maneuvers, and then a lot of times they win with the simplest thing. I'm like, yeah, whatever. But Joey, you did mention this, so I think we need to dive into it, and that is AEW is reportedly in debt because of some major investments that they plunked into a video game company. From what I read, and let me find this real quick, apparently AEW received about $44 million from TNT last year, and that made up a large share of its revenue. Pay-per-view numbers were not very good. There were no ticket sales last year, obviously because of the pandemic. And so they invested some of this money in, eight figures was what I read. An eight-figure investment into a video game section ensured that the company remained in debt in 2020 and didn't turn any profit. So I guess part of the thing is that when you look on the surface of Tony Khan saying, hey, we got $44 million from TNT and Turner Broadcasting, but we still didn't turn a profit. I think that a lot of people would say, well, there you go. AEW doesn't know what they're doing financially. They're going to go belly up. But my take is this, is that I feel like if you made investments in those video game companies, you do have to let those investments mature. And granted, look, we're all kind of in a rebuilding phase, if you will, after last year. Any banker will tell you that pre-pandemic we had great interest rates and now they're in the toilet. Like, that's just the way it is due to the uncertainty. So I think it's a little bit of an armchair quarterback, if you will, you know, saying that, that's it. AEW shit. They're going to go out of business because they didn't make any money. They didn't make a profit. Joey, Rand, what do you think about this quote unquote controversy about Tony Khan and AEW being in debt?
I think they have enough money to last. I think they'll be okay. I think maybe they bit off more than they could chew too early.
Joey, your thoughts?
Well, obviously, it's just them losing. That's like you and I misplacing a $20 bill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're flush with cash anyways, and it's something they can write off or do whatever they want to do. I don't think it's going to be a big deal. They're here to stay. They're going to be around. I just wanted to be the devil's advocate when I brought it up early, because that's the big thing right now. Everybody's talking about them saying they're being in debt. But I mean, they invested all that stuff, and that's the way to go. It is video games. I mean, I get it. So it'll still help them turn a profit down the road. I think what they need to do, though, is they need to tighten the straps on their roster. That's where the money that they're losing, like we said, is they need to start shoring that up.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I don't know, to be honest with you, if a second show is a good idea either, because they're going to start Rampage, which I forget. Is that YouTube show or is that that's not a broadcast show, if I remember correctly, right?
It's going to be on TV. It's going to be a broadcast show.
It is going to be broadcast. Okay. All right. I don't know how smart that is to have yet another show that you have to produce.
Are they expanding too fast?
Well, that's a good question. Very good question, Rand. It's a possibility. I mean, they don't, you know, we'll see when they get back out on the road and start filling arenas, or hopefully filling arenas. And then maybe that will give us a gauge. I don't know, to be honest with you, if they're expanding too fast or not.
What size arena would they be in if and when they come to Columbus?
That's a great question, because Arthur Ashe Stadium in New York holds 22,000. So I think that's a little much, if you ask me.
That's a lot of tarp.
That, yes, that is. I don't know. Peterson Event Center is on the University of Pittsburgh campus. I'm thinking it's in the teens, like 14,000, 15,000. So I could see a sellout there. If they came to Columbus, oof.
So they like R. Kelly size stadiums, teens.
I don't even know what to say on that one. I would say they would have to work the convention center if they came to Columbus.
That would be awesome.
That would be.
I tell you what would be a good size.
My whole thing is they should do St. John Arena. Like, I think that would be perfect. I'm sure Rand would agree with that one.
That's what I was starting to say. St. John Arena, 12,000. You can block it off however you want for your production values or whatever. You can have two different entrances like AEW does now with the heels coming out one and face on the other. That would be real easy to do with St. John Arena. Yeah, that would be if they still use it. I don't know that they do.
I think they still use St. John Arena for like other sports, I think, right? Like, I mean, I know that the basketball and hockey is over the shot, but I thought they did like wrestling and like other.
They still use it. They've played basketball games there.
They built another building over north of the shot called the Covelli Center.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
Which
yes.
It's over by University Village and the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. And I know that they played some basketball games there, but under these last year restrictions, it's hard to say.
Volleyball is over at Covelli Center.
That makes sense if you would use a smaller arena when you can't have an audience. But
Rand owes a bookie named Covelli some money, too, from what I heard.
All right, well, gentlemen.
Got a bad deal with the Wade Boggs. I don't know.
No.
I heard the word on the street is.
Stop bringing up Wade Boggs, if you will. Stop bringing him up. You know, one thing that I didn't mention and I didn't bring up, I think I need to bring it up right now before we close up shop, and that is that I have to thank a great sponsor of the PVD cast. Of course, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics. They are the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs, guys. They've got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, back issues. They got it all, basically, is what I'm trying to say. But I will say this. They are a little bit skimpy on the pro wrestling figures. So if you're going over there for pro wrestling figures, don't have them. If you're going over there for superhero, DC, Marvel action figures, they got tons of them. But nonetheless, check them out by either stopping by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online at wgcomics.com or find them on Facebook at wgcomics.
One of the things I've been into, I got wrapped up not too long ago, was Invincible. John, I don't know if you watched that or Fran's watched that. Do you think they have the comics for that there?
That, I believe they probably would have them.
Let's check it out.
Yeah, that is a show that I have not been watching yet. So, but we could talk about all the shows I haven't started yet because, well, I don't know, I'm busy podcasting all the time, it seems. So,
you're busy posting videos of you petting a bunch of pussies, cats.
That was really bad, but it did get a pop though. So I guess mission accomplished.
Boom.
Anyways. Okay. Anywho, any last words about AEW? Rand, let's start with you. Any last words?
Is it going to help or hurt them when they move to TBS instead of TNT? Will they need to change the name of the TNT title belt at the same time?
Great question on both of those because, you know, TBS is not only just getting AEW, but they're also getting the NHL. So this is going to be a very interesting season coming up, you know, for the NHL and for AEW, and how they coexist is going to be something to keep an eye on, I think.
And will they start at 8:05 instead of 8 o'clock once they go to TBS?
I hope they do. That would be awesome.
So I guess my parting shot, or what I say is, for those of you that maybe haven't watched it for a while or anything, I think they're going the right direction. I want to kind of end on a positive. I've actually been since they changed the times, you don't have to pick, and NXT's moved to Tuesday, and I record and stuff like that. I've actually been able to enjoy most Dynamites lately, and I'm looking forward to where they're going with a lot of these newer characters, with Andrade, for example. And I'm also looking forward to seeing them live, hopefully soon, which would be nice. Even though I sound like I'm very negative about a lot of things with them, I think there's a lot of positive coming.
And I agree 100% with you, Joey. I feel like there are some positives. There are some really good things about AEW. Yes, there are negatives as well. And you know what? I think that, you know, as we close out this episode, you could pick anything. I don't care, since we just talked about World's Greatest Comics, you could pick out comic books and you go, there's lots of positives and there's a lot of negatives. You could pick out movies and do the same thing, you know. You could pick out the Star Wars films and go, there's a lot of positives, a lot of negatives. And so pro wrestling is no different. You can look at WWE, you can look at AEW, you can look at Ring of Honor, you can look at all the different promotions around the world and pick out good things and bad things. But the bottom line, I think, that I would like to leave the listeners with is just what you said, Joey. Keep watching. Enjoy what you enjoy. And you know what? If you don't like something, that's okay. That's okay. Don't focus on it. Move on. Keep focused on the positive things that AEW or any wrestling company bring to you.
That's what the fast forward button's for.
Yes, that is what the fast forward button is for. All right,
which
gentlemen.
It's the Young Bucks button now in my house.
We were trying to end on such a positive note, man.
I'm just looking forward to going back to professional wrestling in person.
All right, there you go, Rand. There you go. All right, Rand, where can folks find you on the internet?
Well, you still got that basic Twitter account, that at Rand Zitmar. That's an easy one.
All right. DJ Joey Blaze, where can folks find you on the interwebs?
I'm still at onlyfans.com/DJ Joey Blaze. I mean, twitter.com. Yeah, DJ Joey. I'm sorry you asked me not to promote that on here. My apologies.
You can check out his OnlyFans. Maybe I'm going to start being like Instagram. You know, they banned that you can't say OnlyFans, I think, on their platform. So all those people have to come up with creative ways of mentioning OnlyFans. So maybe that's what we'll do.
Check out my OF page.
That's right. The OF page is a popular one. So there you go. All right. Well, with that, gentlemen, thanks so much for stopping by. You know what? No. Before I close this up, I'm putting this out there on record, okay? The next time you hear the Pro Wrestling Pundits and yours truly talking about wrestling is probably, more than likely, going to be SummerSlam. And we're doing it live. Do you hear me, you two? We're doing it live, just like we used to do it, at Casa de la Orlando. I've said it. It's happening. We're doing it live. What do you say?
Catering, be ready for us. That's right where our minds both went.
I will try to get the staff back together.
All right. I know it's tough after Trump deported him, so.
Oh, stop. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I will be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with the pro wrestling pundits, DJ Joey Blaze and Ringside Rand, as we talked about the state of AEW. And we've thrown out a lot of opinions about what we think is good and what we think is bad in All Elite Wrestling. And maybe you agree with some of those statements and maybe you don't. Well, you're free to voice your opinion if you like. And let me tell you how you can get in touch with me to let your thoughts known. First of all, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. And you can always leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for @PVDcast. Now, if you need to let some folks know where they can hear this great podcast, well, please tell them that they can get it at PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly, or it's available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting platform, in the search bar, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it. I don't know why. Still haven't figured that one out. But if you do put PVDcast or PVDcast John Orlando, you should find it. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. Now, maybe all of that seems a little bit overwhelming. Maybe you're like, I don't know, John. I want to listen to the PVDcast, but I don't want to go to my favorite platform and search. It's too much. Well, there's even a simpler way to hear every single week's episode of the PVDcast, and that's through the Facebook broadcast that I do every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I play the current episode, and I even hang out so I can chat with you if you decide to jump in the chat. So you can find that over on the Facebook page, and I'm going to remind you that's at PVDcast, every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's even simulcast through two other outlets, the Three Geeks Podcast and the Scene Snobs as well. They're friends of the show. They're great dudes. And I just want to let you know that you should go over to 3geeks.ninja, which is the website for the Three Geeks Podcast, and check out all their great content. And go over to thescenesnobs.com. There are literally over 30 different podcasts on that network. Check them out. There's got to be something that would interest you, that would tickle your fancy, whatever you want to call it. Check out thescenesnobs.com and 3geeks.ninja. All right, with that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. Thank you very much for checking out the episode once again, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.